This is the Green Student Ministries Middle School podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
So I'm going to do a hard pivot. I'm going to tell you guys a story. So for those of you who don't know, I used to work as what's called a nurse aide. So what a nurse aide does is they work in like nursing homes or like rehabilitation centers, and they help the residents there kind of do stuff that they have trouble doing. Like there's a lot of, like when you're older, you kind of have trouble getting around, moving around, doing certain things. And so my job there was to kind of help them, you know, just live life. And so one of the major things we had to watch out for was residents falling. Now, I know like a lot of you are like, what, falling? I'm like in the prime of my life. I can fall all the time. When you're older, that's not really the case. When you fall, it's a big deal. And so the one place I was working, it had what's called a dementia ward. So like when people have dementia, sometimes they need to be in a special place. And so I was working there. And I specifically remember this one resident, and I loved her to death. But she fell. And so when she fell, she couldn't reach her call light to kind of like let us know, hey, something's wrong. And so I just happened to be walking by her room, and I heard her yelling, and like you could hear in her voice, she was clearly very scared. Like, you know, she didn't fully realize where she was. She had dementia. She fell. She was hurt. And so I walk in, and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to calm her down. And so one of the things we have to do is we have to call the nurse, because I'm not an actual nurse. I don't have any sort of medical license. So we need to get the nurse in there to kind of like check her out. And so I reach into my pocket to grab my cell phone so I can call the nurse. It's not there. Here's another important thing you need to know. If we walk into a resident's room and they fell, we're not allowed to leave. We legally cannot leave that room. And so now both of us are stuck there, and I'm freaking out because I'm like, I've got a resident on the floor here. She's hurt. She's in pain. She's scared. I can't contact the nurse. What am I going to do? Luckily, I managed to reach the call light, and we got the nurse in there, and everything was fine. But I tell you the story because I think, believe it or not, we can all at some point kind of like identify with one of the people in the story. You can identify like with both me and the resident where, you know, we go to talk to God and we're kind of like, I don't know if he can hear me. Like, I need to, can you hear me? I don't know what's going on. Sometimes you feel like the resident, why is he not talking? Why is someone not coming? Why is someone not helping? Why is he not talking back to me? Some of you guys may feel like me, where you're kind of in a panic and like you've got something you need to take care of, but you can't because you can't, you don't feel like God hears you. And so this kind of gets into the meat of what I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to talk about Psalm 141. David wrote this one, and he kind of echoes what I think a lot of us feel when we try to talk to God. And so a little bit of context for this, a little bit of background. Being completely honest, we don't know when this was written. A lot of the Psalms we can kind of like either get from like what they have in there, or like there's an introduction that we can kind of tell like, oh, David wrote this when he was doing this. That's not really there for us. But I have, you know, an idea, like I can guess when it was written. So there were multiple times where David was kind of like in trouble. Like that kind of, it kind of defined David's life. So before he was king, there was a king named Saul. Saul was not a nice guy. He was not nice. 11 different times, Saul tried to kill David. All right? Pretty much all of those times, David ended up running away from Saul. So there was a lot of the time before he was king where David was running from Saul. All right? There was another time where David's own son tried to kill him. All right? So, like, there was a question of, like, when David died, who would get the throne of Israel? And so after it was established that it was, in fact, Solomon, Absalom, who I believe was David's oldest son, was kind of upset about that. And so he kind of, you know, went behind David's back, got some support among the common people, and, like, he tried to revolt. And then that is another time where David had to run. So multiple times throughout his life, David felt like he needed to hear from God now. Like, I need to hear from you now. I'm scared. I'm alone. What's going on? And so this is where I I kind of think the psalm is coming from. So in verse 1, I'm just going to read that to you. I call you, Lord. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call you. This is where we get the sense of urgency from. Like, come to me quickly. So I've had two different jobs, actually, where if I needed to get in contact with someone, it was important. So I had the nurse aide job where, like, I was kind of responsible for the health and safety of my residents. I was also a prison guard. And I know, it's wild. It's wild. Will is a prison guard. I'm not. But both of those times that if I you know, called someone, like, either on my phone or on my radio, it was like, hey, I need you now. Like, it was important. Saul tried to kill David multiple times. So important to hear from God, I think, at that point. So I think another important distinction is the fact that, like, David showed Saul, like, hey, I have no intention of killing you. Like, I'm not a threat to you. Yet Saul still tried to kill him. Multiple times, David obviously needs to hear from God right now. And I think we also have that urgency a lot of the time. Like, I need an answer now. Like, it feels like my situation totally unbearable. And if I'm being quite frank, a lot of the time, I think we're impatient. Like, I don't want to wait to hear from you, God. I want an answer now. But either way, I think David really echoes this sentiment in both verse 1 and 2. So I'm going to read both of them. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be the evening sacrifice. So like I've said so many times, David wanted to hear from God. His situation was so important. Likely facing death like he did, like I said, so many times in his early life. Now, we don't face death too often. Not all of us are prison guards. But it really can feel like our situation is so important that we do need to hear from God right now. Like, should I go talk to this person? I need to make a decision about school. Like, there's some important stuff coming up. I need to hear now. And a lot of the time when we're praying, like, someone's sick. Someone we love dearly is sick, and it's like, God, can you please just answer this prayer for me? Kind of like in that mindset, I think that feeds into what David says next, where he's almost, it feels like, trying to bargain with God. So in verse 3 and 4, it says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies. So I kind of think there could be two different ways that this is going through David's head. So, like, the first one, it feels like David's trying to bargain with God. You know, it kind of feels like he's saying, you know what, don't let me do something wrong. I don't want to make you mad. And if I make you mad, you won't listen to me. And that's a sentiment I think we can all kind of echo at times. You know, like, oh, no, I don't want to lie to my parents because then God, he won't hear me. He's going to get mad at me. He's not going to hear me. I don't want to cheat on this test. Like, he's going to get so mad. He's not going to hear me. And it kind of feeds into this mindset we have of God where, like, he's this, like, evil, he's this, like, angry God who's just, like, sitting up there waiting to punish us. It can also seem like David might be thinking of something specifically that he did. I talked about it a little bit the last time I was up here, but David, you know, he had some mistakes. And so it can feel like our sins, you know, the things we do wrong, make God not want to listen to us. But again, this goes back to seeing God as like this angry old man who sits up in heaven waiting to punish us. Now, important thing here. While it's true that sin does kind of initially separate us from God, after we accept Christ, we are in relationship with him. This is so important. He is our loving Father. Okay, we need to understand that. Thinking of him as our loving Father, and this is one of the main things I want you guys to hear, God will always hear us. He will always hear us. Now, I know some of you might go back to the whole thing of like, Will, you don't really know what I've done. Like, God's gonna be mad at me. And I'm gonna tell you like a huge secret that's just gonna make your life so much easier. Literally everyone has thought this. Everyone has gone through this at some point. Every Christian has walked through this. God is still listening to you. It doesn't matter what you did. He's still listening to you. Here's another thing I really want you guys to hear. You're not a weak Christian for thinking this. Like I said, everyone has thought this. God is not going to leave you because you did something wrong. Let me explain. God knows humans. He created them. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to jump into a few different verses that are not from Psalms, but I think they are very important ones for us to hear. So the first one I'm going to jump into is Exodus 34:6. So it says, "The Lord passed before him," he's talking about Moses here, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness.'" So an important thing to know here, this is God talking about himself. I don't know how many of you have like been in a situation where you kind of said like, "Hey, I'm funny." And like someone else is like, "No, you're not." Like, I don't know about you guys, but my initial reaction is to prove them wrong. Like I'm fun, and someone says like, "No, you're not." I'm like, "Okay, fine. I'll show you I'm fun." Okay? So like have that think about that a little bit. Now, this is God talking about himself. All right? This isn't like some sort of question about God. Like, is he, you know, abounding in grace? Is he always faithful? It's God saying, "I am abounding in grace. I am faithful." All right? This is it's a statement from God. It's not going to change. So I'm going to jump to Hebrews 2:18. So it says, "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." This is talking about Jesus. So this verse is saying Jesus was tempted when he was here on earth. Like, he knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what you guys are going through. He knows what it's like to want to steal an extra portion, you know, from wherever, like when you're at dinner, or like just grab the thing and take it. So not only does he know what it is like to be tempted, he wants to help you. Like, he knows what you're going through. Here's the important thing to pull from this. If God wants to help us when we're struggling, why on earth would he suddenly get angry at us if we fail? He knows we're going to fail. So I'm going to tell you guys another little story here. So yesterday, actually, at Chick-fil-A, there was a guy who was doing a job, and to the best of his knowledge, he was doing it correctly. And so me having kind of worked a job a little bit longer, like, I knew exactly what we were looking for. I could tell, like, hey, he's not quite, like, doing this correctly. And so I went ahead and hopped over, and I was like, "Hey, I'm going to help you out for a minute." And so initially, he was kind of, like, upset, like, "Why are you helping me? What's going on here?" And so I kind of explained to him what was going on. And so through this, me kind of helping him, we not only grew closer, but, like, I found out more about him. He found out more about me. And so we have this better relationship now. And it's the same thing with God here. Like, if we go to God, like, "Hey, I'm struggling this. Will you help me with it?" Like, it's the same thing. Suddenly we're growing with each other. Like, you're growing with Christ. And so this kind of feeds into the next verse that I'm going to go into, 1 Corinthians 10:13. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." This one may kind of seem like it's a little out of left field, but it's a good one. And I bring it up for two reasons. The first, again, this verse is telling us God is faithful. He is there. He loves you. He wants to help you when you're struggling. You don't help someone that you want nothing to do with. God loves you. He wants to be there for you. The second reason is that it kind of feeds into the next part of Psalms 141. So in verse 5, it says, "Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will be against the deeds of evildoers." I don't know about you guys, but when I first read this one, I was kind of like, what does that even mean? That's so confusing. I don't get it. So essentially what this is, David is, in like an ancient Israelite way, saying that someone pointing out what he is doing wrong is a good thing for him. Now, one of the ways that God gives us to kind of like endure temptations or like get through our struggles is like bringing people alongside us. So like David is saying here, someone kind of like pointing him in the right direction, it's a good thing. So I don't know how many of you have heard of these. Like, I'm sure some of you have. It's been a thing for a while now, but they're called accountability partners. And so when you're struggling with something or like you want to get better at something, you go to this person and you're kind of like, hey, here's this thing. I want you to help me with it. And so you kind of form this partnership where they say, okay, cool. I'm struggling with this thing. Will you help me with it? And you kind of go back and forth. You help each other. So having people alongside you when things are tough, it helps us to remember God is still there. God has given us other people in our lives to kind of like remind us like, hey, God's here. He wants to know you. He wants to be with you. And so God's given us like friends. He's given us family. And he's given us small group leaders, like your small group leaders who are through here in this room. He's given us them to kind of help us. And it's so big. So verse 5, it does lead into verses 6 and 7. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on them. But verses 6 and 7 say, their rulers will be thrown down from the cliffs, and the wicked will learn that my words were well spoken. They will say, as one plows and breaks up the earth, so our bones have been scattered at the mouth of the grave. David is saying here that people who pursue evil stuff, they're not going to come to anything. David is showing here that ultimately, the pursuit of Christ is the best thing. So I'm going to hop right into verses 8 and 10. But my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me safe from the traps of set by evildoers, from the snares they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety. So David is kind of showing again, like the pursuit of God, that's what matters. He's asking God to keep him safe and, you know, the things that might tempt him, like the evil, you know, with Bathsheba, all that other stuff. And so not only is he asking for that, but David is asking for physical safety. Like, remember, guys, 11 times Saul tried to kill him. I got there. Saul tried to kill him 11 times. Not only that, his own son tried to kill him. That would be unbearable to me. So that's the end of the psalm. And this is one of the things I love about Psalms. So not only do this authors like continually like show that, hey, I need to rely on God. Like, I can't change this in my own power. I need God for this. So like in the last few years, you know, throughout the psalm, my eyes are fixed on you, in you I take refuge. Keep me safe from the traps set by evildoers. David is realizing his weakness here. Like, he realizes he needs God. Now, remember, earlier I said we need God to help us in our weakness. David recognized this. The other thing I love about the Psalms, there's no like good conclusion here about like hearing from God. I know you're kind of asking like, why is that something you like? I like it because it kind of mimics our own thinking, you know? Like, we start off like pleading with God, and then we realize like, hey, he's good. Like, okay, God, just keep me through this. Like I said, though, there's no real conclusion about hearing from God. I'm not going to leave you guys hanging. I promise. I'm not going to. I'm not going to do that to you. So there's a few things that I need you guys to remember. The first thing, like I said earlier, God is listening to you. He can still hear you. He still wants to hear from you. The second thing to know, and this, I would almost say, is the most important thing you can hear from me today. So if you hear anything, please hear this. Most of the time, when it feels like God isn't listening, it's that we aren't listening to God. Like I said, God will always hear us. Now, this can look a few different ways that we're not hearing from God. And the first, I'm going to kind of go back a little bit. So, like I said earlier, our sin doesn't prevent God from hearing us. What it can do is prevent us from hearing God. So I kind of want you to think about it like this. Sin can be like cotton balls. Weird analogy, but track with me. So when you take a cotton ball and you stick it in your ear, you can't hear other people. The more you stick in there, the harder it is to hear. Other people can still hear you. That's what sin's like. Like, suddenly, we're doing this stuff, like, it's setting up blinders to us where we can't hear from God. God can still hear us. And so when we come to him and we're like, hey, I've got this thing I'm struggling with, suddenly God's taking the cotton balls out of our ears. Suddenly we can start to hear him more. Sometimes we have an answer from God, but we just kind of ignore it. God will give us an answer. We don't like it. God will tell us no to something that we think is good or right, and we don't understand why. So it's like, okay, maybe that wasn't an answer from God, when in reality it was. Sometimes we're praying for something we really want, and so we don't want to hear a no from God. I've done that so many times. The third thing that you got, I want you to think about when listening to God. A lot of the time, we're taught how to pray. We can pray, and we'll talk to God, and that's how we talk to God. But we're not always taught how to listen to God. It's not exactly a natural thing for us humans to, you know, listen to someone who's not in the room with us. So there are a few different ways that we can hear from God. I've got three of them right now. These aren't the only three, but these are, in my opinion, the big three. The first one is Scripture. This is the most reliable way to hear from God. Scripture is the only infallible, and it's a big word, but it means like it's not wrong. It's the only solid way to hear from God, and what you read there is always correct. Sometimes we can kind of like put our own meaning into Scripture, but that kind of goes into my next way to hear from God. So like you're reading Scripture and you're thinking like, okay, it means this. Here's the second way, and keep the first one in mind. The second way we can hear from God is other people. We've got friends, we've got family, and we can kind of like read Scripture and we can kind of go to them and be like, hey, like I'm praying about this thing and I think Scripture says this. And like, especially when you go to someone who's older, that's what I would encourage you to do. Always go to, if you've got a big question or something you really need answered, go to someone who's older than you and you trust, someone who's a Christian, and you can say, here's this thing I'm struggling with. I think Scripture says this. And a lot of the time, like that's how I hear from God a lot of the time, is other people like speaking truth into me. They're telling me what they know. Now, the third way, and so please, guys, don't hear the first part of this and have that be the only thing you hear. I need you to listen to all of this, okay, because it's really important. The third way that we can hear from God, sometimes we'll have a feeling just kind of inside us. It's that little voice. It can be so many things. But I need you to hear this. This is the most unreliable way to hear from God. Why is it unreliable? We are told in Scripture that the heart is deceitful, okay? This means our feelings, we cannot always trust them, all right? You should only ever trust your feelings if the other ways to hear from God back it up. Always go back to Scripture, and I cannot stress that enough. Always go back to Scripture. If you have a feeling about something, but there's a very clear warning in Scripture against it, I guarantee you that feeling is not from God, okay? Go talk to, like I said, talk to someone who's older. Talk to your small group leader. Talk to your parents. Ask them, like, hey, I'm feeling this. Is this right? And a lot of the time, they'll very clearly say yes or no. Now, you should never rely solely on a feeling, all right? Always go to Scripture. Always talk to someone else. Now, if you've got a feeling about something, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't be afraid to reach out to someone, okay? You've got me, Adam, Betsy. You've got your small group leaders. Now, I'm going to kind of like wrap it up here, okay? Most importantly, I want you guys to know God loves you. He loves you. He wants to hear from you. He's always listening. That's the second thing. God will always hear you. Here's the third thing. If you need help, and I've said it so many times, if you need help hearing God, reach out to someone. Read Scripture. Reach out to someone. We are here. We love you guys, and we want to help you. So I'm going to pray to kind of wrap us up here. So let's all bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time together. I thank you that we could get together, we could worship you. I pray that throughout these coming weeks, we can really hear from you, and you give us just such great guidance. We hear from you in just such a big way. Give us a great rest of the week. Bring us back together safely on Wednesday, and it's in your name I pray.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.